Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, may grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes from the gospel lesson just read. Please be seated. What an exciting day in the life of Jesus' ministry in Capernaum, as we see from our gospel lesson this morning. Things were going well. Miracles were happening. Crowds were gathering. People were delivered from the oppression and even possession of evil spirits. Jesus rebuked the evil spirits with great authority and also illnesses. People also liked his sermons, especially compared to the first sermon he preached in his hometown, Nazareth. To top it off, as Jesus was going to rest after such a long day, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law from a painful fever. What a great text for the season of Epiphany in the church year. In Epiphany, we focus on miracles. We especially focus on the miracle of the loving Heavenly Father sending salvation for the whole world in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has come. In Epiphany, we indeed do see that light has dawned, that Emmanuel does dwell in the midst of his people, that good news has come for the poor, that freedom would come for the prisoner, that the blind can now see. The miracles of Jesus testify to the fact that the year of everlasting jubilee has now begun. The kingdom of God, this rule and reign of God in people's lives and hearts has come in the person of Jesus. Our gospel lesson today tells us of the beginnings of Jesus' earthly ministry and also, in one sense, the beginnings of the church. The blessed gospel of God revealed to us from heaven in the person of Christ, this word was to be proclaimed to all people. Christ himself proclaimed the good news of himself, the gospel that he was the Savior, the cornerstone of the church, the King of this kingdom. We read that Jesus retreated to a solitary place. Mark adds that he retreated to pray. People still managed to find him, though, and try to keep him from leaving them. Even though there were some who wanted to kill Jesus, there were many in loving amazement who did not want to see their master leave. Imagine what the people in Capernaum were thinking. Why can't Jesus just stay with us a little longer? Finally, we have found what we've been looking for. Finally, something good has happened here to our little fishing village. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Why must Jesus talk about going to other towns? Why can't Jesus just stay here? We will protect Jesus, and we will all be safe and sound here in Capernaum. Our Lord answers their concern with a simple and honest answer. He says, "I must yet go to other towns and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, for this is why I was sent." Jesus said, "I must go to these other towns." The word must or necessary in the original Greek text is dei. As sinful human beings, we hear the word must and typically don't like it. We hear the word must and we think of ways we can cut corners or even try to get out of what we must do. Think of the many ways that we wrongly react when someone says that we must do something. We remember when our Heavenly Father used the word must with our first parents in the Garden of Eden. "You can eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of a certain tree in the center of the garden." After that terrible separation from God and the fall into sin and death, thankfully, in Genesis 3:15, we hear the first promise of the Savior to be born of a woman to crush Satan's head. But from the Gospel of Luke, we can see that the divine Dei is very good news for us. In Luke, Jesus first uses this word Dei when Joseph and Mary were looking for him and found him in the temple. Jesus said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I must be in my Father's house?" In Luke 19, he saw Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down right now, for I must stay at your house today." Later in Zacchaeus' house, our Lord said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus also said many times, "I must go up to Jerusalem. The cross awaits in yet another town for Jesus." In Luke, we also hear our resurrected Lord say, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." Also in Luke's account in Acts 4:12, "There is no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved." Jesus said, "I must go to these other towns and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God." This word "must" is not negative, but shows us a loving Heavenly Father who from all eternity has prepared everything for your salvation and my salvation. From all eternity, the Father saw our hopeless condition and had a plan to save us from sin and death. From even before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was chosen to be slain for you and for me. When Jesus saw the other towns, he saw you and me. When Jesus was talking about these other towns, he saw you and me. He saw our great need and wanted us to be by his side forever. It's not that he had to love us or that he had to save us. But here "must" means that our Lord in infinite love did everything and will do everything to have us back in his fold. This drive to yet go to other towns, this divine Dei of Jesus, begins in the heart of a loving Heavenly Father. The gospel always wants to include more and more people. This mission, this church that we are so blessed to be a part of, is God's mission and God's church. The Lord of the reach calls us to follow him today to other towns and proclaim the wondrous message in word and deed. It's not easy, though. You probably don't need me up here to tell you all how hard this is and how we have often failed and missed so many opportunities. Our sinful nature, the world, and Satan will fight against us at every step to carry out this divine mission and mandate. So what do? We go. We go because we are lovingly called by a Savior who has washed our sins away. All the times that we have avoided the things that God would have us to do, in grace, he has washed and cleansed us and justified us in the most holy and righteous blood of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven and restored, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, God sends us to the other towns. We care because God cares. Because God wants all people to live under the canopy of his everlasting love and salvation, we must go to the other towns. My wife, Tao, a few years before coming to the U.S. from Vietnam, had spent many hours each day in a Buddhist monastery seeking divine help and peace. She recalls this time as a very dark and hopeless time, as she lived in very dismal and dark conditions in Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon. She prayed to Buddha very often, but found no help or peace. During her third year in the U.S., her junior year at White House High School in Tennessee, some high school friends invited her to go to church with them, where for the first time she learned about Jesus. Thankfully, Tao's friends continued to invite her to church and Bible study week after week. A short time later, the Holy Spirit moved her to put all her trust and hope in Jesus. Without anyone mentioning anything about it, a short time after that, she threw away the picture of a Buddha and a statue of a Buddha that she had in her bedroom. And the story begins there, and through a series of events, about 5 years later, she was brought to the waters of holy baptism. We praise God that her friends did not stay in comfortable Capernaum, but they took a risk and went to other towns and introduced Tao to our loving and living Savior. There are other towns today, not only in Vietnam and China and Eastern Europe, but even today in Clayton, in Richmond Heights, in St. Louis, and even to the far ends of Wentzville and Fenton and Belleville, Illinois. In these towns, God has people in his heart to be brought into the everlasting kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. Many of you may remember the Domino's example from chapel a few months ago. Not the pizza, those tiles. Dr. Gibbs used this in a sermon. That one by one, God reaches the world through us. One by one, God impacts the world. The Lord of the reach reaches the unreached with the gospel through us. This morning, in closing, I would entreat all of us to take several moments to pray for two or three people that we know that do not know Christ as their Savior, have not yet found this blessed faith. Let's take a moment and pray for these people who are perhaps your next-door neighbor in your neighborhood or apartment building, a relative, whether close or distant, a co-worker, someone here at the seminary, or even a friend. If you do not know any non-Christians, pray that God would lead you to some. Let's take a minute now and have a moment of silent prayer that God would use us to reach these people with our everlasting hope and salvation in Jesus Christ. Let us pray now in Jesus' holy and saving name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.